Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Uh-oh, got an echo. Get the echo. Ha ha, he did it. Who did it? He's a champion. He's the lord of the board. He's right there on the spot, Johnny on the spot with style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
All righty. First of all, we got to let the folks know about yesterday, just so they know. Folks, there was a glitch in the system because of those stupid computers. Right, style?
Right. Had some internet issues.
Yep. And so what happened is, but I'm always just very curious about why these glitches always happen when I'm on the air, right? And so I have a theory. No, God doesn't have to have theories, you know. He doesn't ever theorize, but I have to have theories. And my theory is that there's some low-down, lily-livered, bug-eyed, ridge-running, egg-sucking, woke bloke, dog-eared individual behind all of that. I don't know. What do you think? Would that be a proper description?
I think most people just call me Style, but I mean.
Okay. Anyhow, I'm not going to tell them about my conversation about Alfalfa, my grandson. Should I go there? Maybe I'll go there later. But right now, we got something more important, and that is we have prayer requests today. I was bombarded with prayer requests today. People, I went to get out of my car and a lady saw me and she yelled for me and she wants me to pray for her nephew. And Rose, if you're listening out there, her nephew, Christopher, has been missing and they can't find him anywhere. And she's asking that I call upon you folks out there to help them find him. And so, and also, Justin is a 16-year-old boy who's in Atlanta Hospital undergoing cancer removal from his lungs. And then we have my former co-host here on Friday nights, Ron, who is at home. He's been ill. He's been out sick at home, ill, and his wife has asked for prayer, for a healing for him. And then we have Sophie. Her husband sent me pictures. Her legs are swollen up huge. She's in the hospital. And she is very ill, and she needs salvation. She needs to be saved. And so Let's start with Sophie then. Let's pray. If you folks out there, now remember what God's Word, the Bible says. There's power in prayer. Much prayer, much power. Again, always remember, when you're asked to help to pray for someone, someday you're going to be the one that needs that prayer. And, you know, listen. God is always listening. He's always paying attention. And so join in with me tonight. It's very important, I know, very important that we hold these people up. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, first we want to hold Sophie up, Lord, for her salvation. I've known this woman for many, many years, and, Lord, she needs salvation. She really needs you, Lord. So, Lord, I just, whatever it takes, and maybe this is what it takes, her conditions right now to bring her to repentance, but whatever it takes, if the Lord, the folks are praying out there to bring Sophie to repentance, Lord, and so that she then can receive that blessing of a healing. So that's what we're asking, Lord, that you bring her to repentance, that she might receive eternal life and not burn in that lake of fire. I want to pray for Ron, Lord, that you would touch Ron and heal, give him a healing, Lord, and restore him. He's been a big, big, big help to this ministry. I want to pray for Justin, who is 16, Lord, and just hold him up to you. And, Lord, I know that all you have to do is say be healed and that cancer be gone. But, Lord, he's in that hospital, and so I pray as long as the surgeons are going to try to remove that, Lord, that you guide their hands, Lord, that you guide their hands, and you bless him and his family members and give them that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I want to hold Rose's nephew up and ask, Lord, that you help find Christopher, wherever he's at out there, Lord, that you know where he's at, and that you might find him, Lord, and return him home safe and sound, and, Lord, that you would be a comfort to Rose, too. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All righty. We're going to pick it up where we left off in Hebrews. And we left it. Let's recap verses 1 through 3 in Hebrews chapter 1, and then we'll pick it up there in verse 4. What do you think, Style?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, let's do her. All right. Now here, in these first three verses, it's talking about the Lord's superiority over the prophets. But God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoken times past to the fathers, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he created the worlds, whom being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here we know that in times past we had foretellers, and those were the prophets. The prophets foretell the future. Today we have forthtellers. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm a prophet, if you will. I'm a forth-teller. And here we speak from the completed canon of Scripture. Jesus said there in Matthew 24:35, that the heaven and earth would pass, but his words would never pass away. Now he also, when it says in diverse manners, he spake in times past. Well, he spake sometimes out of burning bush. He spoke out of of fire, a campfire. He spoke out of a whirlwind. He actually spoke from a jackass. He spoke in different ways to the people, but today he speaks to us through his word here. Now, he also speaks to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And now here he talks about the Lord Jesus being Christ the Creator, who had created all things that were made by him, and there was nothing that was made that was not made by him. He created all the worlds out there. When it says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, we read over there in Colossians that the Godhead, or the Godhead is found bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he goes on to say that he alone purged our sins. Well, he hung on that cross all by himself. There wasn't anybody on that cross with him. There were two other crosses there, but the sins of the world were upon Christ. He took our sins upon him. He did it alone. And he had purged our sins. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so, again, we talked about the chain of command. The Father gives the marching orders, the Son carries them out, and the Holy Ghost always provides the power. We find that from Genesis to Revelation. Now, here we pick it up in verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, he's not saying he was created, because he was the creator. He was self-existent. He became man. He took on the form of a man. But even in that, physically, he was inferior, I guess you would say, to the angels, in a sense that he wouldn't have been as strong, whatever. Okay, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me the son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let the angels of God worship him. And so here now, in the sense, God made us a little lower than angels, but we will be judging angels sometime when we have our glorified bodies. Now, here you get into the doctrine of the hypostatic union. And go ahead, Style, explain that to the people.
Well, you see, the way I look at it, it's exactly what you're about to say.
All right. Okay. Now, what the hypostatic union is the process in which the Lord Jesus, being fully man and fully God at the same time, without any of the attributes or the characteristics of his deity being transferred over to his humanity. See, if you were to have any of the characteristics or attributes of his deity being transferred to his humanity, would he be an ordinary human, or would he be a superhuman?
Be a superhuman.
Yeah. But what about the vice versa? What if you had the attributes and characteristics of his humanity transferred into his deity? What would that make him, a fully God or a lesser God?
It'd make him fully God.
No, make him a lesser God, okay? He wouldn't be fully God, but that's the whole process, is how the Lord Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time without any transfer of the attributes or the characteristics.
Oh, I see.
Now, all you have to do is explain to us how that's done.
Through God, all things are possible.
All right, you got it. That's the answer. I'm telling you, this guy, kid's getting smarter all the time. And so you're right. With God, he's got, well, like Einstein said, we repeated it early, God doesn't have to theorize because he's got no theories, huh?
Right.
That's, it's all fact, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's what God's word, the Bible, is. Can we count on God's word, the Bible? Can we stand on this 100%?
Absolutely.
Well, you're so right. Now, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angel spirits and ministers a flame of fire. Here. But unto the Son he saith, Now here, This is one of the most interesting passages in all of the Scripture. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, and Jehovah's Witnesses, you need to pay attention to this. Seventh-day Adventists, you need to pay attention to this. Mormons, you need to pay attention to this passage here. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is a scepter of thy kingdom. Now, you've got God the Father referring to God the Son as God. So the Father is calling the Son my God, okay? And so here he goes on, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So he's saying the Father here has anointed the Son with the oil of gladness above everybody else. Then he goes on to say, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. Heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So what is he saying? He's saying here that everything's running down. Right now we read over in Romans 8, everything's running down today. And everything will pass away. Everything will pass away. God's going to remake the whole earth and everything, isn't he? And all of us, all the folks out there listening to me tonight, are they not all going to die?
That they will.
Okay, so he's talking about everything being passing away and changing. What time takes its toll on us, but not on God. But not on God. And here, he says, and then he goes on and he says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, there was one angel that said, he told God that he was going to replace him. Huh. How about Isaiah chapter 14, when you had that fellow, I know you've heard of him, he's been around for a while, got quite a reputation. He started out with the name of the light bearer, Lucifer, but today they call him Satan. And here's what he had to say. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now the stars of God are angels. So he's saying he is going to exalt himself above all of the angels. And I also will set in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You know where that is, don't you? That's God's throne. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now here the clouds are the saints. And I will be like the Most High. Now that's what he says to God, right? But God says to him, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under foot. Now, do you know what he just said there, Style?
It doesn't sound like much good.
Well, yeah, he doesn't end well for Satan. He says that all the kings of the earth, even the bad ones, will have a, you know, they have a place where they were buried, and people will come and visit their grave. But Satan's not going to have that. He's not even going to have that. He gets cast into the pit, and he's going to be forgotten. Remember, he wanted to be the king of the world and command all of the people of the world and all of the angels. And God says, well, that was God's cancel culture. When God has a cancel culture, it lasts forever, don't it?
Yes, sir.
So Satan found all about God's cancel culture, huh?
Absolutely.
Nope, you're not kidding about that. All right, you know what? I'm going to go to... we got to go back to where we were because we... Back in Hebrews. And we didn't finish that passage, did we? No. Then he said, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? Okay. Let me ask you, do you have a guardian angel?
I mean, if you want to look at the Lord as a guardian angel, right?
Okay. Well, today, you know, you always have people talk about their guardian angel. I've had a lot of women especially tell me they have guardian angels, okay? And guardian angels are sent to watch over us and to keep us until we get saved. You see here? Are they not ministering spirits set forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Okay, so what happens when you get saved, when you call upon the name of the Lord? Who comes to dwell within you?
Christ.
Well, in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Does the Holy Spirit get his power from the angels, or do the angels get their power from the Holy Spirit?
The angels get their power from the Holy Spirit.
So, if, in fact, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, isn't he looking out after you?
Absolutely. There's certainly no need for a guardian angel at that point.
Now, angels absolutely do intercede on our behalf. That's I have no doubt at all that they've interceded on my behalf. I mean, I've got stories I could tell you and things that I couldn't even make the stuff up. How God has moved in my life, things that have happened that just... you know, by God's grace, I'm still here because a lot of people wanted me to leave this world, okay? But by God's grace, we're still here today. And you know what? It's time. You know, all of these people are calling on Joe Biden. You got to get us out of here before Trump gets into office. We need pardons. We need mass pardons, Joe, because we've committed so many crimes. Mariokas committed horrible crimes. All the little children that Mariokas. Remember, we told you. We've been telling you now for the last 4 years about what this guy's been doing. And Merrick Garland, Chris Ray is, he's going to resign. Old Hillary Clinton. Boy, you talk about Jezebel would worship Hillary. I mean, so these people have committed high, high crimes. And I mean murderous, evil, wicked crimes. And so now they're going to run into Joe and they say, we want to buy pardons, Joe. We want to buy a pardon. Now, remember, Joe's got to sell it. Let's just say Joe decides, what if Joe tells Merrick Garland, I'm not going to sell you a pardon. What might Merrick Garland say to Joe?
I'm not sure.
He would say, Joe, I've got enough on you. I've got enough on you. I could roll over on you. You better get me out of this.
That's a good point.
Joe, if I go down, I'm not going down alone, Joe, huh? Okay. So same thing with Mary Arcus, huh? And so, and especially Hillary, right? I mean, so here, Joe's going to be, he's put in a hard spot. First he got to sell these pardons. He got to make some money off it, and you got to do it in a way where he can't get caught doing it. But anyhow, Steve Bannon said, that might not be a good idea for the Democrats, so let's hear it from Steve.
Who attacked the Capitol, who assaulted police officers, who tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power, should be let out of prison. And the people who investigated that attack should be put in prison. And that's, I think, you know, it's pretty straightforward in terms of his priorities and his values. Look, a lot of things he just said there are not true. It's important to remember, for instance, that the vast majority of those who have been convicted of offenses on January 6th are no longer behind bars. Only a handful really are in that Washington jail he's talking about. And those are the ones who are convicted of the most violent of crimes, the ones who really hurt people on that day. So the people he's talking about actually releasing from prison are the ones who are the most violent of all.
That's just a bald-faced lie. Peter Baker's a bald-faced liar. He said President Trump only wants to go after people but unfair and critical. It has nothing to do with that. And you're right. The people, just one, it has to be investigated about J6, and it's going to be investigated. It's going to be investigated about the 2020 election. It's going to be investigated about J6. It's going to be investigated weaponization. And Peter Baker and the New York Times and his wife, Sarah Glasner, over the New Yorker, they don't like it. Tough. I don't care what you like or don't like. It's going to happen. And here's how we know, Peter Baker, about the criminality of the Biden White House and their nervousness. What you didn't mention there, why didn't you mention about what they're spending all the time on? President Trump is going around the globe now as essentially president of the United States. He goes to Europe. He's like Charlemagne. Look at those scenes in Notre Dame. It blew me away. Then he's got the interview with Kristen Welker. It's just one throwdown. It does one bomb after the next. She don't even know how to respond. What they're doing at the White House, Peter Baker, you're not commenting on. Why are you not talking about the blanket preemptive pardons? Why, if J6 was so, above board, if J6 was so honest, if J6 was in the traditions and customs of the United States and lawful, why in the White House are they burning the midnight oil looking at blanket preemptive pardons? It's never been done. It's totally unconstitutional. Amy Klobuchar, see, folks, I just want to make sure we got the right framing for this, because we got them now. We got these rats cornered like the rats they are. They don't have any good choices. If they give the blanket preemptive pardons, which they want to do, not just for Biden's family, but for Milley and Liz Cheney, all the J6 committee, this is what's so powerful. President Trump said they all ought to be in prison. It's so powerful. Klobuchar comes out and says, I don't approve this. On Washington, D.C., I bet you 2/3 minimum of the elected Democratic, and probably more, but 2/3 minimum of the elected Democratic representatives up there, House and Senate, are saying, you can't do that. We got them right now cornered. If they do the pardons, the blanket preemptive pardons, they've admitted their guilt to the nation. It will destroy the Democratic Party. Destroy it. Right now, there's a piece today in the Hill newspaper that said the Democratic Party, even in regrouping, could be a dozen years before they come back. The Democratic Party, all they're doing, all these articles show me, oh, they're going to go populist. They're going to be populist. They're going to be populist. You just don't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you've got an angle of attack or a center of gravity of populism. You have to work it. And deep, you have to get deep into the marrow of what you're trying to accomplish, of your movement. It's deep into MAGA. MAGA is a populist nationalist movement, full stop. And it's taken many, many, many years to get there and many fights against the Republican establishment. Hey, we're a long way from winning, totally. You know, we win some, we lose some. You just can't do that. But they don't have any good choices. They admit their criminality by giving the blanket preemptive pardons and destroy themselves. And if they don't do it, hey, guess what? In the transparency of the investigations that will come, and they are coming, in the transparency, the American people see exactly what they did. That's why these things have to be like Caesar's wife. They have to be above board. They have to be totally transparent. The American people, we want transparency. We want the American people to see this. And when they see that, they're finished.
So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen to these people? Because now they're caught between a rock and a hard spot. The Democratic Communist Party is falling apart. I mean, and right now they're going after each other. They're all pointing the fingers at each other, giving reasons why the party failed. They don't get it that the rest of the country does not think as much of them as they think of themselves, and you have this elite Hollywood mindset out there by people that are morally degenerate, and the only thing that's going to help them is repentance. It's repent or perish. Repent or perish. Let me ask you this, Donald. Do you think those people know? Do you think they know that they repent or they perish?
The Democratic Party? Absolutely not.
See, Nancy Pelosi just came out and she was bragging. Nancy Pelosi was bragging that she, remember how when she was sitting behind President Trump and she tore up his speech, the State of the Union speech?
Oh, yeah.
Speech. Well, now she's saying her bishop, I talked about this some yesterday, that her bishop, who had told her she is not allowed to take communion, she said she's going to take communion anyhow.
What I think a lot of these people don't seem to understand is that, you know, your church isn't a social club. It's not, I can do it anyway because watch me do it. It's not the physical act of doing it that makes it a legitimate communion.
And so what happens when, you know, what the Bible says about those, it's a very, very serious warning about those that are, first of all, that take the Lord's table, that are unsaved. Now, you know Nancy's unsaved. I mean, completely unsaved. And so what's going to happen, and with unconfessed sin, and God is picking the time and the place right now. I tell you what, if Nancy was to leave this world today, there's got to be a special hot place in hell for her. She's been a very, very, very wicked woman, okay? Especially when it comes to the pro-life. Speaking of that, did you know here that Sam's Club is selling now, you know, Sam's Club's selling the dangerous abortion pill out there today. Americans are used to getting good discounts at Sam's Clubs, but they may be taking their business elsewhere. I hope they start taking it elsewhere. After learning the news that the discount chain is now selling the dangerous Mifepristone abortion pill that has been used to kill millions of precious innocent babies. Mifepristone works by starving the developing baby to death over the course of a few days, and then is usually followed by a misuse of the anti-ulcer drug misoprostol that has the side effect of causing contractions and expelling the body of the innocent dead child. And so, folks, here's what you got to do. Listen. If you don't have any integrity, just keep going. But if you have a conscience, if you have some integrity, okay, if there's some honor and decency, you will let them know very, very clearly there that as long as they sell those pills, you will not go to Sam's Club. Let me tell you. If the headquarters of Sam's Club was to get 20 letters from people saying, I no longer will be shopping there, they'll know that for every one person that wrote, there's 1,000 out there that felt the same way. I believe 20 letters to the president of Sam's Club. You folks out there listening to me, you can go up on the internet, find out who the president of Sam's Club is, write him a letter, folks. And let them know, or send them an email, or give them a call, and let them know very clearly that you are no longer going to shop at Sam's Club.
That would be Chris Nicholas, is the president of Sam's Club.
Chris Nicholas, do you have a phone number?
I don't. I can do a little research.
Would you do that? If you do a little research, and that'll work out, okay? And so, but I'll tell you what, don't do it right now, because we're going to be listening to another clip, which is, you're going to have plenty of time to do it here in a little while. And so, if once we go to that other clip, if you could do that, that would be great.
You got it.
All righty. Did you know that the Dobbs is the Dobbs decision is saving thousands of babies from painful, cruel abortion? And that's what the CDC states confirm stats. While the abortion industry, the baby killing industry, has put out a couple of reports of its own, the latest report from the U.S. Center for Disease Control, I don't know how reliable they are, represents the first official count covering abortions since Dobbs versus Jackson's Women Health, overturned Roe v. Wade in June of 22. It is not perfect. It contains a lot of gaps and is too often short on analysis and explanation, but it's useful that it does rely on hard data from the state reports sent to the federal agency. It shows that there was some drop-off in the number of baby kills from 2021 to 2022. Evidence Dobbs' impact after what appears to have been an upward trend from 2017. And so here it looks like thousands of babies that were saved from the abortion mills because of that decision. So praise the good Lord for that. Amen. And we have to give that to the Trump-appointed attorneys, huh? Or judges.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to be hitting on a couple very quick articles here, and then we got a clip coming up in the second half. It's very interesting. It's what we've been telling people for a long time. You know, we spoke about Nancy Pelosi a minute ago. She is being heckled now more and more. Listen to this. Nancy, who was the head of the radical far left, is now moving towards the center, and she's become, compared to some of the others, the hardcore communists like the Squat and that, they're calling Nancy a conservative. Can you believe this?
That's a little far off.
Well, if you think about it here, you know, with what's going on, where you've got these liberal women that are withholding sex, shaving their heads to protest Trump's win. Then you've got this, what they call the hybristophilia. What's happening is these women are falling in love with this Luigi Mangione.
Luigi Mangione?
Yeah. They're falling in love with him. He's becoming. They're going out saying, wondering if there's any way that they can come and visit him. Someone want to marry him.
Is this like that Charlie Manson scenario?
Yeah, and so here they say that it's called a syndrome, the hybristophilia, that it's with women now. I have done weddings upon death row. I married people upon death row, but these guys, you know, they were not, you know, maniacs. In fact, the two of the ones I married there. One, by gosh, Miriam, his wife, all these years, many years, I took her down to the prison because she couldn't drive with her eyesight, and I took her down to visit her husband Mike. And on death row. And I got to admit something. You know, she said, the Lord has told me, Pastor, the Lord has told me that Michael will be free. And you know what? You know, I've been on the death row for so many years. I had, she had a lot more faith in that than I did. And sure enough, he got off of death row. He's been a free man now for the last 4 or 5 years. And praise the good Lord. And, But anyhow, I married these people right up on death row. The other fellow, James, he would have got off had he was about to get another trial, which he would have got off, but he died with poor health before he could. But here, these women have this this condition, they claim, according to according to this lady here, and I was looking for her name. She happens to be a expert in relations, and I had her name written down here somewhere. But anyhow, she claims that it's a syndrome that these women want to nurture men that are violent, and that they have this where they want to mother these men that are violent. I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right there. What do you think?
I don't doubt it. You know, like I said, we've seen this with Charlie Manson. We've seen this with Ted Bundy. And it's. I'm not saying it's right. I don't understand it at all. But I also don't understand how do you correct that.
I don't know. Taylor Burrows is the lady that I was talking about. She's supposed to be a relationship expert there. Anyhow, I don't know how. We're living in a very strange world today, just a very strange world.
I mean, I think you and I would say common sense, but that doesn't seem to be on the table for these people.
No, it doesn't. They really don't seem to know right from wrong, do they?
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, out in New Jersey, they've got another problem. Their problem is that you've got these drones that are flying from 6 to 8 hours now. There's something strange about these drones, because when they first started reporting on these drones, going back to November 16th, they were saying that these drones were the size of the hood of a car. But now they've got them as big as school buses.
That's a big drone.
Yeah, that's a big drone. Now, they're sitting there with the FBI, and you had this, it looked like a general sitting next to him. And Congress, there's a hearing in Congress. Now, you've got these, you know how many drones are out there they counted?
How many?
184.
That are the size of school buses?
Yeah, they said some are the size of school buses, yeah.
Wow.
And it says they sound like motorcycles. Well, now, here, and they're very sophisticated, because as soon as they realize that you're looking at them, you've locked onto them, they go dark and take off. And so they said there was a bunch of them that had surrounded one of the Coast Guard ships. But anyhow, here the FBI sits there, and he says, we have no idea who they are. What do you think the FBI's job is?
To find out who they are.
Yeah, I would think so. And then you had the military there, and the military talks about, well, they're only supposed to do look into drones and that are coming from outside the country, in the country, right? Does that make sense to you?
I think this is a problem we keep seeing, and the more and more drones become commonplace and more technologically advanced, the more and more we're going to have it, is we can create these new drones now, and they can mass produce them now, but until we put some kind of legislation that makes sense, why are we having access to them? There was the argument for a couple years now of, well, you don't own the airspace around your house. That's technically public airspace, because a plane can fly over your house, so why can't a drone? So you could fly a drone over someone's house and run surveillance and do whatever you want as long as it's in the air. Why is that right?
Well, I mean, look, what if this, what if the FBI thought that those drones were being operated by pro-lifers?
They'd be shot down instantly.
They'd investigate it in a heartbeat, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Now, there's a congressman out there, and he's got a theory, And do you know what his theory is?
What's that?
Well, he says that there is an Iranian mothership, that's off the coast of New Jersey, that's been sitting out there. And this is what the congressman said. He said he has it on the very, very best, high, from the very top people out there in the intelligence, and that these drones are coming from the Iranian mothership. But now you have the Biden regime's people say, no, there is no ship out there, and these drones are not coming from the ship. Well, I know you can't believe anything that comes out of the Biden regime, Ryan.
Well, it was earlier this year, wasn't it, that we let the Chinese drone fly over 20-some-odd states before they actually took action of it?
Well, who bought the Biden crime family, lock, stock, and barrel?
That's who China.
China owns them, lock, stock, and barrel, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now you've got John Bramnick, and he said he's a U.S. senator. He said, we got to do something about this from New Jersey. He said, I just can't believe you people don't know anything about this. I just don't believe it. You know, something is not right. And then you had the other fellow that I mentioned, Senator Van Drew. He says, in fact, he knows for a fact where they're coming from. So I probably go with Van Drew on this one. I don't trust the Biden regime for anything, okay? First of all, we know the drones are there, right? We've all seen pictures of them.
Right.
Kind of hard to ignore 184 drones, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah. But you know what the communist mobs wants to do out there in the mayor of Boston and in San Diego? Do you know what they want to do?
What's that?
They want to become super sanctuaries for harboring criminals.
Of course they do.
They said they'll fight Trump, and they will become super sanctuaries for harboring criminals. And they're going to do it with our tax dollars. That's what they said, right?
I can't wait till they can't figure out why crime rates skyrocket.
Well, now, Trump's new pick for the border, Holman, what's his name, Holman? What is his name? I'm having one of my senior moments now. The new guy, he says he's going to go in there and clean house. I hope he really does go in there and clean house. And so, boy, that's what we need. I mean, it's just like, how do these people get elected? Why would people vote for people like that? And then they complain, right? They vote for these criminals. They vote for them. They get elected, and then they want to move out of their area, and they want to move to a red state, and they want to bring their communist beliefs with them, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
They say, we can't stay here. Look what they've done to the economy, to the state. Look what's happening with the property taxes. We got to leave here, but they bring their communist views with them. Now, speaking of communist views, Leslie Stahl. You know who Leslie Stahl is, right?
Remind me.
She's one of the talking heads on PMSNBC.
That's right, yes.
And you know what she says? She says the legacy, they refer to themselves as the legacy media. We have lost all our credibility. She said we've got no more credibility than a lawyer does. And you know what else she said? She said, and we, meaning those talking heads. By the way, their PMSNBC, their ratings are at an all-time low. They're losing ratings left
daily,
and right.
Yeah.
And she says it's happening because nobody believes us anymore. And it's our fault, right? Now, she didn't come right out and say we shouldn't have been lying. But remember Leslie Stahl, remember her famous quote when she said, she was talking to someone, and they made her angry there on the air, and she said, "That's my job, is to tell you what to think and why you think it." That's what she said right on the air. Leslie Stahl. A lot of people didn't agree with it, huh?
I know why she said that, because it's her boss's job to tell her what to think and why to think it, and that's a lot of money between the two of them.
Yeah. Well, now her and Rachel Maddow, or Madcow, whatever, their ratings are they've gone to the basement. They're talking about Musk is talking about buying them. Boy, I bet you they wouldn't get very much for it today, huh?
Yeah, I know we talked about it a little bit last night, but how great would it be to see a full 180 of MSNBC, see Elon Musk buy it out, and then get guys like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon back on this?
Yeah. Or maybe Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz would be a great addition to it.
Yeah. But he had a colleague there in Congress named Eric Swalwell. Remember Eric Swalwell?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's very worried now. He's afraid that the FBI is going to come after him, that Trump is going to send the FBI after him.
You know, very, very seldom do I see innocent people worry about the FBI coming after them.
Yeah. And here, just because, well, for a while he was sleeping with a Chinese spy, naming Fang Fang. Remember Fang Fang?
Oh, yeah.
And so, all right. Now, remember, Swalwell was on the energy or the intelligence committee. And there he's sleeping with a Chinese spy.
Certainly no conflict of interest there, huh?
No. Now, Kash Patel says he will get the answers to who gave the orders to infiltrate churches, for the FBI to infiltrate churches, to raid the homes of the pro-lifers, to investigate, interrogate parents who challenged the school board. And so that's who Cass Patel said he's going to go after. You don't suppose old Larry Swalwell's afraid the Cass is coming after him too, do you?
I think we're going to see a lot more in the line of thinking of Eric Swalwell here, of people being afraid for their livelihoods.
Yeah, there's a whole list of them you can see here. Now, Trump administration can help defund planned predators. This is that would be a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. A poll conducted last week showed former President Donald Trump is narrowly leading Vice President Kamala Harris in three hotly contested battleground states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Wait a minute. This is something that's new today, and this is how could that be? Well, anyhow, he's talking about in there that Doge is going to, they say they will, Elon Musk and Ramaswamy said they will defund planned predators. And they get over $300 million of our tax dollars a year to kill babies. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're coming up to a break, and then when we come back on the other side of the break, for 4 years, we have been telling you about what has been taking place with the children, the human trafficking, and who's behind it. For 4 years, we've been telling you who's behind it. Well, guess what they're talking about now, and I praise the good Lord that they are, is who's behind that. When we get back, we'll take a good look at what is happening there. Be right back after this. Don't go away. More to come, a whole lot more. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.